You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, June 27th, 2025. We've got Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot is getting an early start to the weekend, so I'll simply tell you to continue to monitor your local Civic Media station for your local forecast, which is going to include, by and large, drier conditions for now, but then showers and thunderstorms will return either Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, depending on where you are, and there is a severe threat that comes along with them. So over the weekend, again, pay attention to your local Civic Media station for more details. From the text line here from Jim in Brookfield, thanks for playing the theme for Captain Kangaroo. Boy, does that take me back to happier times. Thanks. Pam at WFHR, OMG, I knew Captain Kangaroo right away. Haven't heard it in years. And also noted that she had Lori Morgan on WFHR several years ago for an interview. And let's see, we've also got, of course, Robin Tigerton. But again, look, I know it's a little awkward as you hear me sometimes like scrolling through things live. It is a function, however, that more people are sending comments in on YouTube and Facebook. So I'm happy about that. I will try to get to these comments a little faster, but I appreciate the buildup in volume. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and fog in 62 degrees. The Tigerton area picked up 1.3 inches of rain, and we're starting to see ponds in farm fields. Many farmers are having a tough time getting their hay crop off and hoping for a week free of rain to get the crop off, because some don't have their first crop off. Boy, I hope they do. We should be well into second cutting of hay by now. And again, the field right across the street from me is definitely overdue for that. But we're going to need some dry conditions for a little while here. Up here in the Chippewa Valley at the rain gauge in the backyard here on Lake Wissota, 2 3/4 inches of rain since this all got started on Wednesday afternoon. I'm thinking it's a little less down by you, Parker, but a lot more in parts like between, say, Madison and La Crosse.
Well, there is currently water in my basement. So,
oh, well, yeah, there you go.
We think what happened was, I don't remember if I said this to you. I think I might have just said it to Brittany after you had left yesterday. We had a tree in our backyard that had to get cut down.
I heard that. Yes.
Yeah. So that filled the gutters in the eavesdrops.
Oh,
and
sure,
we didn't clean it out. So, and our basement tends to flood a little, or not flood, get a little water, and we have carpet down there.
So our basement flooded for years and years, and it was such a hassle. We finally had a big home project and did something about it. But even now, when it rains as much as it did the past 2 days, we still go down there nervously a couple times a day just to check and hope that we never have to wet vac like that again.
Yeah, it's
so. During our history lesson last hour, in our last segment, Greg Bach joined us, and we talked about my seeing a sleep specialist yesterday, getting on a CPAP machine. Robin Tigerton says he's been on one since 2019, and it works. So a lot of encouragement there, and I'm not going to lie. I got to my Google machine a few times over the past couple of months and have, you know, just been, you know, trying to make sure that what people are telling me is, you know, true, that this is going to make a real difference. And again, there's exceptions to every rule. There's always going to be one or two people, oh, CPAP machine didn't work for me, it was terrible. But I gotta say, by and large, the consensus is I better get on this thing
and
sleep a lot better, because again, ever since I got the Apple Watch and it sends the data to my phone, and I look at my phone in the morning and I go, oh, I really should be sleeping better, and I could use that. Hey, would you like to win some free Brewers tickets? Can you go to the Brewers Rockies game on Sunday afternoon? Not you, Parker.
No, I can, though.
I know, but just for the listeners. If you would like a chance to win 4 free tickets in a statewide drawing, it's Free Ticket Friday. Here's the key word to text, PARK, P-A-R-K. Or again, for our Boston listeners, PAK. Send that through the Civic Media app. Text it to us, and you will be part of a statewide drawing for 4 free tickets, club-level seats. Parker used them this week and can testify that these are quality seats.
These are quality seats. You got a nice little cushion on there. You know, that's what you need. I don't like those hard seats. You got to get the cush.
He's joined the old man club with me and Greg. My tukas can't handle these hard seats now. I need the cushion. All right.
Feels good.
We can take care of that. So there you go. Text the keyword PARK to us, and that's this keyword. There will be more chances to win throughout the course of the day on this Free Ticket Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, next week on the program, on Monday, we're going to have Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. We will talk about the group suing Elon Musk as a way to try to prevent billionaire bribery of voters, or at least the skirting of the rules on bribery. Also, Hans Breitenmoser will join us on Tuesday, so we are really hoping that he gets drier conditions between now and then, and that we can have some good news to pass along from rural Wisconsin. We're also going to talk next week with State Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland-Bayfield Superior region, way up north, and she's going to talk about a bill that she had to vote against, which was supposedly going to address lead water pipe removal in Superior. We always talk about it in the Milwaukee area, but as Earl Ingram and others have told us repeatedly, this is still a problem in many other places across Wisconsin, not just Milwaukee, and Superior is one of them. Unfortunately, the bill that Republicans put forward put a huge chunk of the cost on taxpayers, and essentially the private utility up there was taken off the hook for being responsible for any of the cost of replacing the lead lines. And so Representative Angela Stroud said, you know, she had to vote against that. That's not a fair deal, and that there's still ways to negotiate a fair deal. So we're going to talk to her about that next week when she's on the program. And I regret to inform you that next Thursday's show will feature birthday cake and far too many candles. But it's, you know, it's one of those rites of passage. I saw a cartoon the other day that said, we got to stop calling it years. We got to call it levels, like a video game. Because next week, if I tell people I'm at level 61, I mean, that's going to be like, oh, look at this guy's good.
That does sound better.
not this guy's old, you know. Here's Tony saying, the real up north. Yes, Ashland is the real up north. When we do that define up north, and you know, some people go with Highway 29 and some people go with Highway 10.
Yeah.
A lot of people go with Highway 8. And Tony's one of those that goes with Highway 2, which is not quite fair.
So it's all relative.
Yeah, there's a lot of space there over there. And Alicia says, oh, that's right. Your birthday's the day after mine. We got a birthday week next week. Consider it a date. A lot to tell you about as far as what you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network and what you can find on Up North News. So let me mention that on the Todd Alba Show today, you can catch it from 2 until 4. He has his own Week in Review guest, Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World. We'll be joining him around 3:30. And then Matt Nair on Air today, Dan Schaefer is the guest right after the news at 10 a.m. Meanwhile, over at Up North News, the Blue Angels are in town at the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport for an air show this weekend. And Selena Heller covers them every year and actually is part of the local support crew, I guess you could call it, there working at the air show. And so Selena will be joining us on Monday morning to talk about all the fun. But you can see some of her photos of the Blue Angels arrival and others getting ready for the air show. Just head over to our social media sites. Search for Up North News WI if you haven't been on those at all, or at Up North News on TikTok, where we put videos as well. Also on the website, there are some fantastic 4th of July fireworks shows all across Wisconsin, and we've got a website article and a link in our newsletter linking you to said article to find out more about the fireworks shows that you can find. And we also covered in our last hour as well, but you should know that if you attend the Wisconsin State Fair, you know that they have special awards for some of the newest, most creative foods and drinks. They are the Sporkies and the Drinkies, two different types of awards given out at the Wisconsin State Fair, and they have announced the finalists for the Sporkies and the Drinkies so that you have an opportunity to sample them at the Wisconsin State Fair when that gets going in West Allis. We're going to have Mike Clemens on at about 8:30 to wrap up sports throughout the week here. We can tell you that the Milwaukee Bucks, in the second round of the NBA draft last night, used the 47th overall pick to pick up a Bogoljub Markovic from Serbia. And that is the extent of what I know about Bogoljub Markovic from Serbia until Mike Clemens gets here. Unless Parker, you've got some other inside information I'm not aware of.
I'm afraid I don't. However, I do appreciate acknowledging that. Yeah, he didn't play college in the U.S. I don't got a clue.
Yeah, I got nothing. We did not. He was not part of anybody's NCAA brackets. That's just how it works. The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday, but they continue their homestand with three games against the Colorado Rockies. Starting tonight against the Rockies, the pregame will begin at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward, and Richland Center. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn much more. I mentioned in the last hour, and I'll just pass along briefly here, and then we're going to have a local break, and we're going to talk to our Week in Review panel as well. But I do like the way that Dan Schaefer framed the new Marquette poll, because it talked about a lot of different issues. Now, again, it's not election time, so this wasn't any kind of candidate polling or anything like that. It was just about various issues, some that the legislature is considering right now, some things that are before Congress. There are things like, you know, Medicaid expansion for new moms and things like that. And here's how Dan Schaefer put it. In a deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? Again, here's the question. In this deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? And his answer, it's almost all that are policies that are backed by Democrats, such as Medicaid for new moms, 66%. Favor legislation that would extend coverage for Medicaid for new moms to a full year after giving birth. There's marijuana legalization. 67% say marijuana should be legalized, including, by the way, 44% of Republicans and 79% of independents. And then there's increased special education funding. 71% of voters say they would favor a major increase in state aid for special education funding for public schools. There's mental health services in schools. 75% of voters favor a proposal to provide comprehensive mental health services in schools statewide. To this point, Republicans in the legislature not only did not go along with Governor Evers' proposed increase, but have proposed decreases in mental health services. Allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, 77% of voters say Wisconsin should adopt a citizen's initiative to put issues on the ballot. So again, on all of the top issues, when you look just at issues, not candidates, not party labels, anything like that, you see where folks are. It's just a matter of trying to remind them who is on their side on the ballot when it comes to these issues. A local update is next for some of you, and in 15 minutes, when we're all back together, we will continue with our Week in Review panel from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Up North News has newsletters every day of the week for you. Our Monday through Friday newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together, like we said, today had a link to the fireworks shows across Wisconsin. She also does a Saturday sports edition, and then on Sundays I put together one that is politics themed. Usually I have it mostly written by now, and then put some finishing touches on it, and it goes out at about 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. However, now that the state Supreme Court has made its ruling on the governor's veto powers, Republicans are now getting going on writing the budget. And so the Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting today, probably all day, to go through as much of the budget as they can. And then they may pass the budget out of the Assembly and Senate as early as Monday or Tuesday, because Tuesday is when the new fiscal year starts. All that is to say the Joint Finance Committee will be meeting all day today to work on the budget, which means Pat will be working late, putting it together on Saturday and then sending that newsletter out on Sunday. So if you want to know what Republicans finally propose for a state budget, you want to get subscribed to that Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitler newsletter, head to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up top. It takes you to a page with all three newsletters. Sign up for one, two, or all three of them. Let's bring in journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholzi and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we get going with a little look at the week's news. Only a few little things have happened since, you know, we last spoke. You know, attacks in Iran and 7,000 U.S. Supreme Court decisions and so much more. Panel, good to see you all. And I think, Jim, I think we're going to have to start with you because there's a lot that the Supreme Court is putting out there because they're at the end of their term. And what say we start with the Medicaid-related one out of South Carolina as it relates to Planned Parenthood. And again, Republicans and conservatives finding ways to get the courts to what lock in a very right-wing view of covering health care for women and for all people in this country.
That's exactly right. Yesterday, it's a huge opinion having to do not only with Medicaid, but of course, abortion, reproductive rights generally. You've got a governor there who way back in 2018 said that because abortion is murder and it cannot stand in America of this century, he said that for those people, those entities that are benefiting from Medicaid in this time, that the reality is that we're no longer going to offer Medicaid support and services, and eliminated that, went up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said yes, that under a provider provision of the Medicaid rules and laws and structures there, that the state can do just that. And again, it basically prohibits now the provision of Medicaid services and funding for patients of Planned Parenthood in South Carolina. The concern, of course, it can very easily move into other states as well, because the ruling is plainly nationwide.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark, a point that I made this week is that for a party that loves to talk about, we're going to get rid of red tape, we're going to get rid of red tape, when they want to, they can wrap red tape around almost anything to, you know, give you more hoops to jump through if you want Medicaid coverage, or maybe just use the court system to, you know, make sure that Medicaid can't cover you. So, you know, for all the talk about red tape, they know how to use it and not just pretend to cut it.
Well, right. I mean, it's really ridiculous that they claim that states' rights is a big thing and that local control is a big thing when we see what's going on. We see, you know, the Marines in Los Angeles. We see, you know, right now they're trying to get the University of Virginia to fire their president because of DEI. So, I mean, just the long hand of the federal government is getting longer and longer every day. And this is not, you know, the old simplistic way of looking at it was that Republicans wanted government out of your life. Well, that's not the case now.
No, they're more than happy to be involved deeply in people's lives and exam rooms and things like that. More big decisions yet to come, Jim. What are you looking to think we might see some today?
Yes, the Chief Justice has told us that this is their last official day. They don't completely go out of business, obviously, but he's announced that there are six more opinions, and these are the big ticket items. Not that there haven't been other ones recently that are equally important, but among them is the issue relating to birthright citizenship. That one may well depend a whole lot more on whether or not federal judges can impose nationwide or universal injunctions interesting situation there, not only under the 14th Amendment, but more broadly. Other cases out there, there's an Obamacare challenge once again that goes to preventive medicine, whether the task forces that decide whether or not insurance companies are obliged to provide preventive services for, oh, I don't know, things like cancer screenings and other things that keep us healthier and safer, whether those things can stand, that's huge. There's an issue related to whether parents can insist that their young grade school children not be exposed to LGBT storybooks in public schools. And then there's also a matter involving internet and access to adult sites. Finally, there's also a major decision involving race and gerrymandering and districting that will also redefine at least somewhat the interplay between politics and racial decisions when it comes to drawing those lines. Lots of things on the docket, probably all announced in the next couple of hours.
And Jennifer, from the challenge in the newsroom, we always talk about, you know, the Trump theory of just complete chaos, and then you can't cover everything. Newsrooms should already be practiced about this, because every year it seems we go through this with the Supreme Court. You've got to spin a bunch of plates at once.
Jim knows the answer to this better than I do, but six decisions on the last day of the session seems unusual. Mm-hmm. And almost all of them are lead story type things. So I think this is going to be a particularly challenging day, not to mention all of the other tons of just Trump related news that's going to be happening. But I mean, the 14th Amendment, if they make a decision on that, that's, you know, weeks of news.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have so much more to say about that if it comes down that way. Coming up next, we're going to have much more with our panel. And then in our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lierley and Emily Cephos will talk about pressure on Governor Evers to veto the state budget bill if it does not meet certain standards for education, health care, child care, and more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. A question for you. Would you like to go to the Brewers Rockies game on Sunday afternoon? Would you like a chance to win four free tickets as part of a statewide drawing? Well, then get yourself over to the Civic Media app, and before the end of the show at 9 o'clock, use that Civic Media app to text us the word park, P-A-R-K, and you will be in the running for four tickets for this Sunday afternoon's Brewers Rockies game as part of our free ticket Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, and if you head over to couriernewsroom.com, all kinds of news articles, videos, podcasts, newsletters. For example, there is How Is This Better?, a new video series with Akilah Hughes this week, Erasing Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson broke barriers on the baseball field, but his legacy off the field is under attack. And so Akilah explores how the Trump administration is trying to rewrite history in its crusade against diversity, equity, and inclusion, and why it's important to defend history and what those DEI efforts are designed to achieve. Also, at Courier Newsroom, you can get the newsletter from Mark Jacob. It's called Stop the Presses. You can also get it at stopthepresses.news. He also has a video series with Stephen Beschloss called On Target. And this week in the video series, it's about pushing back against gaslighting when going to war, which includes refusing to reflexively accept going to war without facts, which Mark takes us to the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, who would really like those pesky reporters to just focus on the bombs going boom, not whether the bombs actually did the thing that they said they wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, a long record of governments lying about war. It's one of the things that is most often that governments lie about. Then you combine that with the Trump regime, which, you know, lies about everything. And it's a really kind of a nasty combination in which you can't trust anything. So you have this this declaration from Trump that the Iranian nukes were obliterated, you know, which is, you know, within, you know, minutes of the bombing, which there's no way that you'd be able to have that determined, but he said it anyway. And so they, you know, they're sticking with it. And then you get this report in the New York Times and various other places, Fox News even, that said that the preliminary determination was that it might have set them back a few months, but not, you know, really a long time. And that enraged, you know, Pete Hegseth and Trump. And Hegseth said that they shouldn't report that. Now, this makes no sense to say that this is a preliminary report. You shouldn't talk about this when Trump immediately said that the whole thing was destroyed. So Trump's word is fine. Everyone else's is not. And Hegseth even said that the press ought to be waving the flag. That's what he said.
Of course. And it gets worse, Jennifer, with the president's lawyer threatening to sue CNN over its coverage of the intelligence report. At least the media is pushing back on this one.
And threatening to sue the New York Times also.
Right.
It says, it reminds me of what they're doing to CBS. They're demanding an apology. They're claiming that the coverage is unpatriotic and that the coverage is causing Trump harm. You remember with CBS, the claim is that CBS engaged in some questionable editing of an interview. They didn't, but that doing that caused Trump harm. And so CBS should pay Trump $20 million, which it looks like they might be doing, by the way. Wall Street Journal is reporting that settlement looks like it's moving forward. And now it's the same playbook. His lawyer sent letters to CNN and the New York Times yesterday. I don't know if other news outlets got them as well, but those two news organizations have been out in front on this preliminary assessment that Mark was talking about, and both fired back. The New York Times wrote, no retraction is needed. No apology will be forthcoming. We told the truth to the best of our ability, and we will continue to do so. That's great. That's what the press should be doing. But let's be very clear about it. Trump is trying to censor actual news and creating a narrative that if you step outside of those boundaries, they're going to come after you. And that is, oh my God, that is frightening. It's really stunning to see it happening day after day.
Well, to want to, again, require patriotic reporting. If only I had a lawyer to talk to about this. Oh, wait, Jim Santel. Is there some kind of a reason that a lawsuit would go forward for, quote, unpatriotic reporting?
There is none. But as Jennifer and Mark and you have said repeatedly, that doesn't stop lawyers on behalf of this president from going into court. It is one of the joys, if you will, of our society that you can walk into a clerk of court's office and file a complaint. It says virtually anything. So you can sue the question, which is implicit in what you just asked, Mark, and Jennifer and Pat, is, will that stand up? The answer is no. We've got New York Times versus Sullivan. And basically it says that in order to be successful against the media, you've got to have a very high standard. And others recently have tested this. The Supreme Court continues to endorse that theory that you've got to show actual malice. You've got to know about what you're doing and doing it for a very bad purpose. That is appropriate. We have a high standard, an appropriate standard for First Amendment protections in this country. This will go nowhere. But once again, like all these other lawsuits, again, challenging people who are pushing back against this president, the idea is not winning. It's grabbing the headline and saying, look at what has happened. Bad media. It feeds, once again, this notion that the press is the enemy in America. May well be that in 5 months, the cases will be dismissed. That will be on page 7.
Yeah.
But today we are announcing how aggressively we're going after these bad people who are advancing the First Amendment in America.
Yeah, no. But Jim, it's not necessarily go anywhere in court. But at the same time, when Trump holds these other things against, like CBS, for example, the FCC is holding up a merger that they have planned. And so in effect, it's an extortion scheme, you know, that they have to settle with the government in order to get their, you know, their business to run. So they end up losing in court, or potentially losing in court, but that doesn't matter.
It absolutely is. And it is a misuse and abuse, once again, of the judicial system to get this inappropriate result. It's, again, to threaten you in the public domain. I am consistently stunned, as the two or three of you have been also, that folks like CBS and others are seriously saying, we'll pay off this huge amount of money. Let's go to court. You bring this lawsuit, bring it. Let's go to trial next week. And why it is that intelligent lawyers in New York, other places are not saying that is befuddling to me.
We should note that along with hosting Amicus, a law review for 2 hours on Saturday mornings, we've got an extra 2 hours of Jim Santel coming up this afternoon, guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show. And you're going to be joined by a colleague, another former U.S. attorney, John Vaudrey.
That's exactly right. We're going to chat about, frankly, an old issue, new again, which is whether or not that 2020 election was stolen. Believe it or not, John is out there advocating against those folks who pursue that, and we're going to have a good conversation with that, and probably also this other amazing story, a fellow named Emile Beauvais inside the Department of Justice, highest levels, who is apparently telling Department of Justice lawyers that they can tell federal judges no, and they can tell them something even more dramatic, which I will not repeat on morning radio. And he is also headed, for what it's worth, to a lifetime appointment on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of this president, and frankly, but going to be confirmed by the United States Senate fairly soon. All stunning information we're going to be talking about this afternoon.
A lot to cover here from 4 until 6. Mark, in terms of coverage this week of things, you know, one thing that you've taken note of, and I certainly have as well, is there was so much, I mean, Joe Biden couldn't turn left instead of right and not be accused of cognitive decline. And yet what we've seen this week in terms of the claims about Iran and the crude language the president used at one point this week, I mean, again, there's that standard. If Joe Biden had done any one of these things, it would be, is he okay? And I'm still not seeing any mainstream outlets saying, is this guy okay? Because he's not okay.
No, the guy like drops an F-bomb on, you know, on live video, you know, at when he's talking to reporters. It's crazy. And the thing that drives me nuts is that, you know, just, you know, Obama orders mustard on his, you know, his sandwich and it's a big deal, or he wears a tan suit. I mean, the standards have changed so much. And it really means that, I think it says that all these nitpicky criticisms of Democrats in the past were just that, you know, that they were, that the right wing did not have any high standards for conduct by its politicians. They only wanted to like nitpick on the other party because they're letting Trump get away with. And he's also incoherent a lot. And he also just flat out lies. He said yesterday that they weren't changing Medicaid at all. He said flat out that they were not changing Medicaid at all, which is just a patently a lie. I mean, just it couldn't be more of a lie.
Jennifer, when the things that he's getting out there that other outlets are either not are giving him a pass on, but they're also picking up on some things. For example, the phrase big, beautiful bill, which again, he knows marketing and he knows that if you're saying big, beautiful bill, you're perpetuating it. Now, some of us have taken that in another direction and had a play on words for it, but there are still newsrooms out there that will just simply take whatever is given them, in this case, big, beautiful bill, and run with it. And I get that that's, I mean, what was Joe Biden's? It was Build Back Better, you know, originally. It just feels like reporters need to reclaim, you know, the narrative of just call it the president's legislative agenda, you know, or something like that.
You know, talking points have become something that reporters seem to not even notice anymore. They hear it, they repeat it. And Trump is a master at it, and he has been now forever. And so there's all these phrases that are now part of journalism discourse and their reporting that I'm just continually stunned. I do not understand the double standard. I do not understand the acceptance of everything Trump. I can only imagine that they're so sucked into this vortex that it all seems normal to them. And so they just talk about it that way. Even the F-bomb thing that that Trump did the other day on live television, you know, it was a blip. had it been the other way around,
oh my goodness,
you know, it'd be huge.
Oh my goodness, the strain from the norms and everything else. I got time for one quick thing. In our last hour, we talked to Kia Vakil, kind of our first exposure to the New York City mayoral race. Mark, you note that the media has been referring to him as a Democratic socialist, and that why that label, but not a different label when it comes to Republicans.
Well, right. I mean, if he. No, Mamdani is he ran as a Democrat, you know, so they don't, they could just call him a Democrat, but they call him a socialist accurately, I think. And but they don't call, you know, the Republicans fascists when accurately you could call them that. The thing that I would like to see with this Mamdani thing and everything else is an explanation of what socialism really is. And the fact that many Trump supporters benefit from so-called socialism. You know, which is a lot of what our government is and has been for, you know, at least a half a century. So, well, I mean, it's a scary word to people who don't understand how government works, but the media ought to explain what socialism actually is.
I could not agree more, because it has been so misused and abused for a generation now, and we're far past time to do that. As we talk with Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, and Jim Santel, a local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you, a few more minutes with our Week in Review panel, and in our 8 o'clock hour, Kristen Lyerly, Emily Cephos, and Sports with Mike Clemens. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One more reminder for this hour that if you text us PARK, P-A-R-K, through the Civic Media app, you are in the running for free Brewers tickets for Sunday afternoon's game against the Colorado Rockies at American Family Field. Four tickets, great seats. And to enter, just text PARK through the Civic Media app, and there will be other chances to win with keywords throughout the course of the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's break a little news, a little Civic Media news here, that there will be not just your usual edition of Amicus, a Law Review with Jim Santel Saturday morning from 9 to 11, but a special bonus edition on Sunday afternoon, Jim.
That's exactly right. Just because we won't get through everything, plainly, whether it's this afternoon or certainly tomorrow. We've got all these major decisions, can barely keep up with it, as we were indicated before. And so in addition to the live show, call in from listeners, much encouraged on Saturday. Sunday, we're not going to be taking any callers, but we're going to review those cases we did not get to on Saturday. So exactly right, Pat, 2 hours of content this weekend on Civic Media, 2 to 4 Sunday, Saturday morning, 9 to 11. And no small cases once again. I should also mention again, a major redistricting case is going to change once again how we understand line drawing when it comes to districts in America, whether it's race-based, political-based, and that issue also going to be looming large. And frankly, in a couple hours, we'll talk about it this weekend.
You know, Jim, the other thing we're not going to get into now because we want to keep things, you know, with Mark and Jennifer here, but I do want you to look back, if you haven't already, at my very sound legal reasoning as to why I think the Wisconsin Supreme Court, even in a unanimous decision, I think they may have missed the mark on this ruling that restricts some of Governor Tony Evers' veto powers. And so if folks missed it, I think it was Thursday morning in the 6:35 segment. Go back and listen to that, and you'll hear a guy who never went to law school, but I read the opinion, and I know how to use Google. You know, I should have my own edition of Amateur Amicus, is what it should be.
And turn the broadcast into a law school, Pat. There's no reason why the ABA shouldn't accredit this very program every single morning, right?
Well, yes, but I do want to ask you in the future about that at some point. And
because
you mentioned redistricting, the court also deciding without comment not to redistrict the congressional maps in Wisconsin. And so let's come back to both of those things next week if we can. But Mark, I think it was you that asked Jim a question about birthright citizenship and what the decision might look like today. Was that you, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, the question is whether they're going to deal with the merits of birthright citizenship or just deal with the issue of whether a federal court can, on the district level, I guess, can nullify or halt a presidential order. So, Jim, what's the deal with that?
And that's exactly right. It appeared from the oral argument that that's where almost all the Supreme Court justices were going. In a perfect world, which I suspect we do not have, a perfect nation, a perfect Supreme Court, perfect world, what they say is, come on, 14th Amendment does in fact apply. It means what it says, so it's what it, and, but the issue, the larger issue is whether or not one single federal judge, whether it's in Eastern, Western Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, someplace else around the country, can issue an order and make it applicable to everyone across the country. I think Amy Coney Barrett had it right. They've got to be able to craft some kind of a rule that says, okay, on really big ticket items like things like, am I a citizen in Wisconsin? Am I not a citizen in Illinois? Those kinds of things that have that capture larger issues, that maybe you can permit federal district court judges, subject to appeal, to issue those kinds of orders. There may be other things, very local in nature, regional in nature, where you say, you can't do that. And indeed, some of the federal judges are doing just that. They're making their judgments applicable only in their particular federal districts, only applicable to the particular plaintiffs who are appearing in front of them. I think that's what they're going to do, but because we're predicting that, that's almost certainly not what will happen this afternoon, this morning, but that's what they should do in a very thicket of a very difficult situation here, legally trying to untangle all this, that the president created this in the end.
And Jennifer, your newest edition of Indistinct Chatter that you can find on Substack is titled Obliterating the Truth. It is welcome news that so many reporters are digging for answers on the Iran bombing and refusing to stick to Trump's script. And it's one of the things I like about your column is, I mean, I can throw stones all day long. It's, you know, I'm an old man. It's what I do now. Whereas you're looking for the positives and you're seeing the positive aspects of some of the media doggedness on this story.
Well, it's something that we haven't seen a lot of. And so when we do, it jumps out a lot. And it did this week. I don't know if it's the topic. I don't know if national security reporters have a different sensibility than, say, political reporters. But it seems like the press was a lot more aggressive this week in getting to the facts of things and not falling for a lot of the PR and talking points from Trump. So I'm encouraged by it. I don't know where it goes from here, but Trump's trying really hard to set his narrative, and some in the press are saying, hold up, there's some facts here that don't go along with that. And so I think that's good news.
Are you seeing that as well, Mark, that there's just something about an act of war that has said, okay, this is not a show. We have to use all of our journalism tools and not just the ones that make up infotainment.
Well, I think Jennifer makes a really good point that maybe national security reporters are tougher and have a different standard than political reporters. You know, I've long argued that some of Trump's actions should be covered by the criminal reporters, not the political reporters, you know, because you'd get a different spin on it and a different approach. So to some extent, I think they have been tougher on him. And one of the things that was really surprising with the Hegseth thing yesterday is he went after a Fox News reporter, one of the few respected Fox News reporters, Jennifer Griffin.
Well, and that didn't surprise me because, well, first off, it's Pete Hegseth. But that has been the way that they go, is you just attack the media. And if you make them look bad enough, but we've seen that in authoritarian playbooks, you know, from Hungary, Russia onward. And it's just nice to see that folks aren't taking the bait as easily as they used to. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, thank you again so much. I really appreciate it. I'll miss you next week for the 4th of July, but we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
It's a pleasure.
See you then.
All right. Happy 4th, everybody. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, Kristen Lyerly, Emily Cephos, and Mike Clemens has sports. Remember, you can follow my team all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.